Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome back to Burden and Blessing Podcast. We are considering part two of our mini-series, I guess you could call it, on church membership. Part one, we considered what things I should think about or look for when joining a church. Now we're going to look at it from the other angle and think about what should I consider when leaving a church. If you feel compelled to leave, what kind of thoughts, actions should motivate that decision? I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel. Joining me are the two other members of our team at Burden and Blessing, Pastor Neil Radical and Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. Neil, we'll start with you on this one, since we started with Nathaniel last time. Tell us what comes to your mind as a pastor. Obviously, as three pastors, we're not advocating that people leave our churches or leave a church, but if that thought starts to enter somebody's mind, where would you direct them?
Well, I think the first thing that I usually ask, the first segment we talked about church shopping, and really this one's about church hopping. Why are they looking at a different church? Why are they looking at leaving? I think part of that would be something's probably upsetting them in their own church. We would hope that it would be something doctrinal, as we emphasized last time they're leaving the church, because the truth of God's word was not being taught. Unfortunately, when my own members have left a congregation, it's typically because they want to hop to a different church because their own church is telling them something they don't want to hear in the Word of God, something that they're being corrected on. So I think reasons to leave a church primarily that people give is because they disagree with what the church stands for, what it teaches, whether right or whether wrong.
Yeah, I've seen that happen a lot too, where people it's almost like they get tunnel vision, where they're so desirous to get out of the church that they'll do almost anything to get out. And what they don't really realize is people can see whether or not you're being honest. People can kind of see and sense why you are leaving a church, and the truth will come out. And when you leave for reasons of resisting the Word of God or other things that are unscriptural, it's going to make an impression on your fellow Christians, and I think it's really going to deflate your reason for leaving church. You feel vindicated in your heart, but it's really going to detract from that.
What do you guys think are some of the reasons why people? What are some of the reasons you've heard people left the church for?
Why don't you take that one, Nathaniel?
Well, I think that there's a lot of things that drive that. We're looking at this from one perspective, maybe from our own personal perspective, and I think there's another perspective to talk about too. But a lot of times it's because there's a disagreement, a personal issue that has developed within the congregation, and instead of trying to work that out in a God-pleasing manner, it's easier to leave and abandon that relationship and find another church body where you won't have to deal with that. And the interesting thing is, if you have a personality conflict with somebody in a church and you go to a different church, you're probably going to have a personality conflict in the next church too. It's kind of like when a person says, hey, I don't like my wife anymore. She's not what she used to be, so I'm going to get a divorce. And you think that the next person that you're going to marry is going to be just perfect. It doesn't work that way. If you're having a particular problem within a church, you're probably going to have that problem in the next church that you go to also. And one of the things that's really important as we work through this as pastors is to encourage those members to work through those issues. You mentioned in our last podcast the importance of admonishing one another, encouraging one another. We're going to have personality issues, but we got to work around those things for the sake of God's word and for His truth to encourage and support one another.
Can I follow that up with something? So what do you do? I have some family members that have not left their church or synod because they disagree with it, but they want to stay to try to work it out, just like you were saying. So how does that fit into the context of what you were saying, Nathaniel?
Well, I think there's a difference between personality conflicts and doctrinal conflicts. So there's a distinction between if you and I just don't get along, we don't see eye to eye, that's something
which we don't.
We've got to work that out, though. But if we disagree on doctrine, then that is something that, just like we started off with the last podcast, that's something that sets the tone for our relationship with God. There's an issue, and Scripture is clear about that, that what God says, what becomes doctrine, that goes. When we disagree on that, then there's a need for separation. So I think it's two different situations.
I think that's really important that you guys brought those two aspects in, because I think one of the reasons why this is a difficult question to answer, when should I leave a church, is because you don't see a lot of examples of that in the Bible. The church in the New Testament was so new, and it was right on the scene, that you don't have the divisions like we have today. But you do see examples of in the Bible are personality conflicts and doctrinal conflicts. And you see the Lord is very specific in how we are to deal with both of those areas. I think of Ephesians 4 when I think of personality conflicts, where we're encouraged by the Lord to forgive one another just as Christ in God forgave us. Doesn't that solve the personality problem right away? But it's a hard thing to follow because of the sinful flesh. And then when it comes to the doctrinal conflicts, you've got Romans 16, 17, and 18. Avoid those that teach false doctrine. 1 Corinthians 1:10, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We don't have stories of people who are leaving the churches in the New Testament, but you have examples of people who are going through the same causes that we experience today that lead to people leaving churches. Neil, you had a point here.
Well, I think it's interesting that you bring up those passages, because so often, like, our group of churches have always kind of been the mark and avoid, separate and break fellowship kind of church. Yeah. But I think the flip side to that too, the Lord reminds us through Paul, I think in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about there must also be factions among you for the establishment of the true church, the truth. He wants us to follow the truth. And the flip side to the understanding of those separating passages, why would you want to leave a church, is because the Lord reminds us how, in the Psalm, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So even though Mark and Nathaniel might not always care for my personality, the thing that we enjoy is the doctrinal unity and what that, we can...
People are really seeing behind the curtain here at Word and Blessing. This is good. This is honesty.
It is,
but yeah, totally agree on the point where if we had to line up personality wise in order to function as a church and as Christians, it would never work, would it? But that's why God gives us the standard of His Word. That's the rule for our lives. That's what we follow, and we can do that even if we differentiate in personality. And in fact, the differences in our personalities and in our styles can actually be a blessing when we work together on the foundation of God's Word.
Backing up to one of the points that Neil made earlier, he asked the question about this person who says, I'm going to stick it out in my church body because I'm going to try to change the church body. I know that the church is teaching something contrary to God's Word, but I'm going to try to fix it. And going back to what God says, throughout Scripture, both in the Old and in the New Testament, you have the prophets and the apostles and Jesus Himself warning about the dangers of false teaching. Paul says it will spread like cancer. This is the kind of thing that you don't take any chances with it. It's not like you're going to say, hey, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to change it. God says, avoid it. Get away from it. He says, beware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. I like to use the illustration with my confirmation students that, if I were to bring a lion into the room and let it go, what would you do? Would you try to pet it? No, we try to get out of here as quickly as possible. If you know that there's a wolf, you don't say, I'm going to see if I can tame it. You avoid. You get out of there because your life is at stake.
I think the other misunderstanding with that is false teachers don't really realize they're false teachers. If I'm starting to teach falsely, you know, guys like you or hopefully my own members or family members would say, hey, that's not quite right. And I think that's something that people who look at passages like that or think about leaving their church don't realize how subtle the devil is working through people that aren't even, you know, are misunderstanding, misapplying the scriptures and are doing it with good intention. But that's why the person themselves might not seem like a ravenous wolf, but the message is the ravenous wolf, is the destructive, the devouring spirit that's going to
ruin. But at the same time, we got to be really careful because we don't want to call out every single mistake or misstep that a fellow church member may have and say that they're a false teacher who's unaware. Some false teachers know exactly what they're doing and that they want to do it. And I think we've got to be careful about calling out our weak brethren when in cases where they don't realize maybe what they're saying or what it means and they would readily take it back. We have to be careful to exercise love with them and make sure they understand before we take that separation.
This is all
part of what makes it difficult, isn't it? There's a lot of different applications that fit in here along the line. You gotta use godly wisdom as well in this process.
It takes us back to the fact that God's word is the foundation, and as you mentioned, Mark, in any of those situations, as we try to defend the truth of God's word, proclaim the truth of God's word, or seek the truth of God's word, we need to do that in love. In every one of those situations, we need to speak the truth, as Paul says, but in a loving way. In all of those examples, even where false teaching is spoken of in the New Testament, Paul emphasizes that we do it in a loving way out of love and concern for the person who is either being misguided or misled or even teaching what is contrary to God's word, that it is approached in a loving way and with care and concern for the people that are involved.
Yeah. You know, for the person who's trying to expose a false teaching that may be there, act in love toward your neighbor and toward God. For the person who is concerned that they might have to leave their church, act in love toward God and your fellow neighbor. Be kind. If Jesus was there watching you go through the process of leaving your church, would he approve of how you're doing it? I think that's a good question to ask, because ultimately, and this goes into part one of what we talked about of why you should go to church, you're there at church for your relationship with God, to strengthen that and to build that first and foremost. You know, church is not just a social club activity where you hang out with people that like you and that are your friends. Certainly there can be fellowship advantages like that, but first and foremost, you're there for your relationship with God. And is leaving that particular church going to help or harm that relationship with God? Is it building it and strengthening it, or is it taking away from it? I think that's a good question people should ask themselves before they're ready to leave a church.
You want to know something that's a little bit ironic in some of those situations? You have somebody who will say, I'm strong enough to be able to withstand the false teaching in this false teaching church body. I know this church body is false teaching, but I'm not strong enough to be on this on my own or to do the digging and investigating that I need to do. I don't know God's word well enough to be able to, you know, sort out or be on my own if you're a long ways away from your church body. So there's this paradox that people have in their mind where they say, I'm strong enough to do this, but I'm not strong enough to do that. And it doesn't go both ways. You know, God doesn't say, hey, if you're strong enough, go ahead and involve yourself in that false teaching church body. He says that's a danger.
For whoever you are, strong
right.
or weak, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think on the flip side, you've got some people that leave a church and say, I'm strong enough on my own. I don't need the fellowship of the believers too. So it does work. It does work on both sides of the – you hear the argument from both sides. I'll say it's not that it works, but you hear the argument, and there's dangers to be aware of on either side. Really, it's very simple what God says in his word. Joining together with like-minded believers is a good thing, is a necessary thing, and that fellowship, as we call it, is built around what the Word of God teaches. There are other parts of church, certainly, but it's built on what the Word of God says.
I think it's important, too, using an illustration of if you're going to leave a church, you do really need to know where you're going and why. Because I think, you know, compared to a gym membership, you think of that, if you think, oh, I'm going to be strong enough to go on my own, that's a really tough thing to do when it comes to physical exercise. If we're talking about spiritual exercise, then how much better is it going to be, you know, when the three of us get together to do study and discussions like this? You know, maybe those things wouldn't happen as often on my own unless I'm with a group, just like going to a gym. It's not going to happen, you know, going to play basketball. The reason I'm going there is because I want to go support the guys so they have enough so I can encourage them. Similar to what we're doing here, or going attending a church. You want to be built up by your brethren and be accountable to them so that you're strengthened together. It's not. So I agree, Mark, you said earlier, and I know you weren't intending this, but you said it is about a relationship with the Lord, but it's also about serving our brothers. And I know you weren't intending to say it's one, not the other, but I think both go hand in hand very well.
I like to use the example of the fact that our fellowship, if you want to use that term, our fellowship is vertical with God, but it's also horizontal with those in the visible church body around us. And God wants both. He wants us to be in fellowship with Him. John speaks of that. He says, we are in fellowship with God, and we want to be in fellowship with you. It goes both ways.
Yeah. For the listener who may be, you know, concerned about this topic or thinking about it or questioning what they should believe or think, just look at your cross at the front of your church. That's a beautiful example of what we should think about in church. Vertical, your relationship with God. Horizontal, your relationship with fellow believers. But that doesn't exist, does it, if there isn't unity around the Word of God there? And it's seriously hampered in the least if there isn't unity. And so let's keep that in mind as well. Paul said at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, he desires the unity of the Spirit. And then he uses the word one seven times after that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I think he's sending us a message that unity around the Word of God is possible and is important for our lives. Let's strive for that as Christians. Any final concluding thoughts or remarks from either of you?
Well, just a reminder, too, that unity that you're talking about from Ephesians chapter 4, that unity is not brought about by us. That unity is brought about by God on the basis of His Word through the cross of Christ. It's not something that we accomplish. It's something that God accomplishes in and through us by His Word.
Absolutely, I appreciate it. You listeners will find that very often I'll throw thoughts out there and rely on Neil and Nathaniel to clean them up for me. So there's a good example of that. I appreciate that. But we thank you for once again tuning in to listen. Remember to listen to part one if you haven't yet. And as always, head to burdenblessing.org. For more articles and recordings, and you can subscribe there as well. And as always, you can email us at burdenandblessing@gmail.com for questions of your own, and we'd be happy to try to answer that for you. Thanks again for tuning in. God go with you on your day. We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.